Good morning, Living Hope. Morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. 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 Well, I'm excited because I've been praying, Lord, what is it that they need to know for such a time as this? What is it for them to be battle ready? What is it that they would be prepared? And so this morning, I want to share with you that the authority is yours. The authority is yours. One of my duties that I get to do is to be a crossing guard. And it's one of my morning and afternoon duties. And I actually kind of like it because I'm outside. I hate being in the building. I'm an outside person. Many of you know I love the woods. I love walking and being outdoors. When we first started the duty, and this is the first year that I actually had this duty, there was no sign and no vest. You just stepped off the curb and you tried to stop the traffic and hope that you didn't get hit. And now you think I'm kidding you. School zone and they're doing like 40, 45 miles an hour and nobody's even looking, you know? I go out there and I look like regular Joe Schmo. I put my hand up and they're like, yeah, who are you? Right by. But then we have an officer. His name is Officer Abruzzi. Abruzzi. It kind of goes appropriate, isn't it? If I abruzzi you up. Or... He's a tough guy. He's a good guy. Got a big heart. He decided that, Mr. Baybrot, I took a look down there and, man, you're dodging traffic. You're playing Frogger. And so he decided to get me a stop sign and a neon vest. Oh, yes. Can I just tell you? What a difference. Now, there's still those that go through where I have the sign like this and they drive by and you do it. Yeah. There are still ones that, but what a difference is made when all of a sudden you have some authority. Do you know that when a police officer decides to pull somebody over, we stop and we listen, not because of the person who it is. But you see, they have a badge, and that badge gives them authority. And it's not only their authority, but it's every other man and woman who wear that badge with them. Do we understand? It's not the person, but it's what stands behind the badge, what they're wearing. So I started to think about this. Is that why Scripture tells us that we need to put on the full armor of God? You see, when we put on the full armor of God and we stand before the enemy, the devil, do you understand that he doesn't know if it's Jesus or not until you open up your mouth? And if you're not speaking this, he knows it's an imposter. But until that point, he's afraid of you. Because he knows the authority that Jesus has. The devil works overtime to deceive us into believing that we have no power, we have no purpose, we have no authority, even to a point where some believers literally come and they beg God for mere crumbs. Do they not realize they're the king's kid? Oh, Lord, if you could, if you would, maybe, Lord, I just beg, oh, Lord, please, 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 please. This morning, I want to encourage you. I want to energize you to open your understanding this morning that God, your Heavenly Father, has charged you with authority. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, Lord. We have worshiped you in song, but now we come and we worship you with your word. Father God, we do not look for mere information, but we look for revelation. Revelation that will bring transformation, that all that we say and do will be the Father's will, and that it will glorify the name of Jesus. We pray that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know that the devil is our adversary? Scripture tells us that he comes to kill, destroy, right? Steal. That's his goal. That's his job. But we need to remind ourselves that God sent Jesus, and Jesus already did something about the devil. We talked about this numerous times, that there are people that think that God and the devil are the same, that they're equal in power and authority, and that they're just as big. Oh, it's a battle. Oh, no, who's going to win? But I'm here to tell you this morning, Satan is so small, he's under your feet. That's what the Word of God says. Satan is so small that when you finally see him, you're going to go, you? You were the one that was causing all that havoc? Are you kidding me? We need to be reminded that Jesus already defeated Satan. In 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Colossians 2:15, he disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. You see, Jesus defeated the devil and his death, burial, and resurrection. That's how he did it. Now, the believer is expected to exercise his rightful authority over the devil. And this is, I think, a part where we struggle a little bit. In every epistle that's written to the church, to believers, every epistle that's written to believers, if the writer of that epistle said anything about the devil, he always told believers that they were to do something about the devil. They were to do it. This morning is part one of The Authority Is Yours. I would like to give you four references, two this week and two next week, to prove that believers have the authority over the devil. First, let us begin with the reading in the book of Matthew. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, he immediately said to the disciples, "Hey, all power is given to me, both in heaven and in earth." Now, the Greek word power is the word exousia, exousia. It's also translated for the word authority. This translation of the word authority appears throughout the New Testament. So when we're talking about power, exousia, we are talking about the authority that comes with that power. So the verse could actually read this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And believe it or not, there are several translations that actually have that word placed there. Now, if we stopped reading there, only verse 18, it would be understandable to believe and to expect, "Lord Jesus, you have authority on the earth against devils and demons. You can do on the earth about these devils because this verse says that you have authority on the earth. So, Lord Jesus, this verse tells me you have all authority." And here's where many in the church focus: their belief, their prayers, and their expectations. "Jesus, you do it. Well, you have all authority on heaven and earth. Jesus, you do it. Do we know a lot of folks in the church that kind of just sit back and say, well, you know, if Jesus doesn't do it, then it's... See, it's a misconception. We've only taken a piece of the verse. But if we continue, let's just read a little bit farther and see what happens. In verses 19 and 20, we'll notice that Jesus immediately took his authority on earth and delegated it to the believers, to the church. And he immediately said, go ye. Take a look at 28, 19, and 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, there are some people that believe that there's no such thing as the Trinity because that word's not used in the scriptures. However, this verse here tells you that there is. This is a little side note here. This is being downloaded in my head right now. Sorry about that. Did you notice it says they're baptizing him in the name? It didn't say baptizing them in the names of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name. One triune God. Mark 16, verses 15 and 17. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And here we go. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. And then this is what grabbed my attention. I want you to focus with me on verse 17. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. Do you know that some translation says that they will cast out devils in my name? So wait a second. And these signs will accompany those who believe. He's talking to believers. In my name, they, meaning us, will cast out devils. Will cast out demons. Us. Believers couldn't cast out devils if they didn't have authority over them. And Jesus says, I gave the church that authority. So maybe a clearer way to express this would be, in my name, believers shall exercise authority over devils. Many times I hear believers ask the question, why does God permit the devil to do such terrible things on the earth? Why doesn't God do something about the devil? Well, many things happen in life that we wonder about, amen? There are many things that are happening during these crazy and uncertain times right now that we're living through. More than many are even aware. But this morning I want to share with you, God is waiting for us to exercise our authority and to do something about the devil, about the evil that's running rampant. And just like my stop sign and crossing guard vest, his word stands behind the authority he's given us. If we don't know the word, we don't know that we have authority. So then we don't walk on authority. In fact, we try to avoid any place that might have confrontation because we don't know how we're supposed to behave, act, or speak. True? So we need to understand that his word stands behind the authority that Christ has come to give the church. You have authority because he said you did. Now, I have to tell you this. Satan is a liar, not Jesus. So if Jesus says, I have given you all authority, would it be good to assume that, maybe I have authority? I jest, but there are many in the body of Christ who don't know they have authority. They're casualties of war. They run, they hide, they try to find peace, they try to make peace. And the things that they're trying to save themselves from will be the things that will be taken from them. Every time I think about that statement, I think about Bonhoeffer when in Germany. And he was in prison. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want you to think that German people are evil. They're not. German people were God-loving, fearing people. If I tell you the stories from Gelly and her childhood and youth, how they loved Jesus and loved the Lord. But when the church stays silent, evil is allowed to grow. And here he is in the prison, and his other pastor friends trying to make sure that they didn't, you know, step into something, you know, the church staying quiet. We should just, you know, ride it out. They asked him, why are you in there? Why are you in prison? And you know what his answer was? Why are you not? You see, to stand up for something is going to cost you. And most won't take that step unless they know that they've been given the authority. Silent pastors produce silent churches, and there are too many silent churches not standing on the word of God. And they're deceiving their own people. I don't care what church you go to, just make sure you're being fed. Make sure that they're giving you the word of God and not some opinion. You might feel good, but you'll be going right to hell unless you find a place that's preaching this and only this. I understand how hard this is to grasp for many believers, but the church has been lulled to sleep. She says she's in shape and ready for spiritual warfare, but for many, if not most, the church is obese with apathy, laziness, and believes that things are okay. We're okay. It's okay. Let's have a little potluck supper. It's okay. We'll go for breakfast. It's okay. Now, there's nothing wrong with potluck suppers because I love potluck suppers. Amen. I got an amen from Jeff on that one. But you know what? When those are the things that take the attention of the church away from righteousness and fighting for righteousness, they're asleep. They're asleep. It's us who often bow down and let the devil run over us. We wait for God to do something about the devil, about the evil that's running rampant in our government, our society, our schools, our community, our churches, and our homes. But Scripture tells us that we need to take our stand against the devil with the word and put him on the run. Put the devil on the run. We need to do something about the adverse circumstances in our lives by taking authority over Satan and standing our guard against him with the word, claiming what belongs to us. Have you ever walked around and said, hey, by your word, Jesus, it says this, this, and this. I claim this because your word says it. And then name the scripture. Why do you think we have all these little index cards we carry around? Just, you know, gotta keep reminding ourselves. Your word says this. You know what? Nothing excites the Father more than when you speak his word back to him. He's like, ooh, I think my son and my daughter are getting it. Yes. Because that's a sign of you stepping into your authority. You know his word. Could you imagine a police officer not knowing the law, running around, just pulling over anybody he wanted to, or doing whatever he wanted to, or taking his gun out whenever he wanted to, or, well, I just felt like doing that. All right, I'm not going to go there. Some of you do know how that is. But isn't that bizarre? You see, we need to have people who know the law and uphold it. We need to have sheriffs who are constitutional sheriffs. We don't need some yahoo thinking I'm at the top of the pyramid chain, I can do whatever I want. We need someone that's going to know the law and stand up with what the Constitution says. Period. Just like we should know the word and we should stand on what Jesus said. Not what pastor said. In fact, if you don't like anything I say today, take it up with Jesus. I'm just telling you what's in the word. James 4:7 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James was writing to the church. He was writing to believers. Can't wait till we get this in the Bible study because I got a whole thing on this one. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James didn't say, get your pastor to resist the devil for you. Or get fellow Christians to resist the devil for you. He didn't say that. He said, you are to resist the devil. Who? You. You couldn't resist the devil if you don't have authority over him. You see, we think we got to run and hide because Satan's got all this big power and, oh my goodness, no, he only has power that you give him. He only has power that you give him. James also didn't say, go to Jesus and rebuke the devil, or go to God and resist the devil for you. He didn't say that. He said, you resist the devil and he will flee from you. From who? You. You. One of the meanings of the word flee in the dictionary is to run away in terror. In terror. Demons and evil spirits are not afraid of us, but they are afraid of Jesus, whom we represent. Therefore, because we are in Christ, they will flee from us when we take our authority over them in Jesus' name. You know, we talked about wearing the suit of armor. Well, if you're not speaking the word, there's a contradiction, right? I mean, think about a police officer, and you look and you go, oh, my goodness, police officer, respect the law. And the guy gets out of his car, and he's like, hey, man, what are you doing? Yeah, we're just going to go, hey, why don't we just jump in the woods, go shoot a few deer, and let's just throw a few... What would you be thinking? Wait, this doesn't make sense. There's something wrong here. Did you take somebody's uniform? Right? Because that's what you would think. So it's the same thing when we're wearing the armor of God. Are we speaking the word of God? Or are we speaking negative? Are we speaking fear? Are we speaking doubt and worry and anger and bitterness? And the list goes on, because guess what? If those are the things that you're speaking, it's not matching up with the suit of armor you're supposed to be wearing. Let me state this morning that I do believe in prayer, because I know that some of you might be thinking, wait a second, you just kind of hit that. I do believe in prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in petitioning God through our prayers, and I believe in answered prayer. Are we clear on that? Because I don't need an email or a text going, well, I just had a message from a pastor, and he doesn't believe in prayer. No, I didn't say that. But what concerns me of those who are believers who look and seek for others to pray, forgetting that they have authority over the devil. Because see, you might believe that it is only because of somebody else that you'll be not harmed by the evil one. But I need you to know that you're walking in authority right now. God has given you authority now. Wherever your feet will go, I will give you that land. You will tread on serpents, right? Now, he's with you, and you have full authority. Amen? What if believers gathered together and prayed in authority together? Woo-woo! You want to see something happen? That's when it happens. When the body of believers, understanding their authority, gather together to pray in authority, heaven shifts. Things happen. But you know, sometimes it's really hard to get people in the church to want to get together to pray. I'll pray when things get bad. It's now. Just saying. Could you imagine getting together and praying in authority? Standing on the word of God, reciting the word of God, speaking and praying in authority that was given to us by Jesus Christ. Could you imagine him sitting at the right hand of the Father going, "Hey, Dad, look at this. They got it. Dad, look at it." Ooh. And you know what happens when you pray in authority? Do you know that the Word of God says the angels are released on your behalf? Did you know that? I mean, it's just amazing to me. Amazing to me. You know, Satan can't take any authority in your life unless you give him the authority. If we don't exercise our authority over him or take a stand against him, in the tests and the trials he brings against us, then nothing will be done about the situation. Because we are the ones in authority on the earth in Jesus' name. All authority I have given to you. That's what the scripture says. So this morning, I hope I've encouraged you to embrace scripture, to embrace the fact that the believer has authority on earth, for Jesus has delegated his authority over the devil to the body of Christ, to the church. So next week, excuse me, I will present the third and the fourth scriptural points that will open our eyes and our spirits to the authority that we've been given through Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. So this morning, let us begin to stand and embrace our authority. Let us begin to stand on the word of God. This morning, let us resist the devil and send him running. Amen.